It is not a sale until you have a signed contract with a scope of work produced that they've agreed to and your terms of payment are ironed out. You are not somebody's fucking bank. The customer finances the project.
Do you feel you should be further along in your contracting business? Are you tired of not making the money that you know that you're worth? Or maybe you're winning, but you just want to win at a higher level. I'm Tom Reber, and this is the Contractor Fight. Turn this shit up and get ready to earn more respect, earn more money, and be a better leader in your business. Oh, and P.S., this show is not for thin-skinned people. If you offend easily or have a victim mentality, you should probably just move the fuck on right now. Let's go. Hey fighters, what's going on? Welcome back to the Contractor Fight. Listen, today I want to dig right in because I'm grabbing some questions from our private Contractor Fight Facebook group. If you're not part of the group, head to Facebook, type in your search bar, the Contractor Fight, and there'll be an option for a private group that you can request access to. There's, I think, three questions that you need to answer, and then as soon as you're in, within 24 hours, you need to own your crap, and that's the cover charge. Other than that, the group is free, but there's some really good conversations going on in there. We got, close to a couple thousand contractors in there. It's funny, I want to warn you, make sure you own your crap. If you don't own your crap, my assistant Roz will kick you out of the group. We've actually cut out, I think we've cut from the group over 3,000 people, so because they're too fucking good to own their crap or something. They think their crap doesn't stink or whatever. But anyway, this is not one of those other groups like we see in the contracting world where you come in and you show everyone how big your balls are by how many trucks you have on the street and you're giving a bunch of people advice even though you don't know what the fuck you're doing yourself. So if you want to come into the group, you got to be teachable. You got to be a giver. There's got to be a level of humility and things like that. And the result is we've got guys that are changing their lives, changing their businesses, changing their health, relationships, finances, all that stuff, because we have the right people in the group. So I super encourage you to head to Facebook if you're not already part of the group. And if you're part of the group and you're not experiencing some of the things that I just shared there, the benefits, then get your ass involved and make sure you're connecting with other members and things like that. So here's the cool thing, guys. Listen, I have not been apologetic about the fact that, you know, we have many coaching programs, our sales academy, our fight nights, fight club. I do one-on-ones. I do things where you could fly out here to Colorado and hang out with me. You could fly me into your company and speak, whatever it is. But there is a ton of free value in this Facebook group. You could better your life, better your business, simply by being in that group. So I want to encourage you to get in there. So let me dig in here and address a couple questions. Now, some of these have 50 or 100 comments, replies, answers to them. I'm simply just going to go through and share with you how I would approach these things. And in some of these I've weighed in the group, and some I haven't, but I think I got three or four things here that I just want to address that seem to be common themes or questions that many different people struggle with from time to time. So here we go. And I'm going to keep these anonymous because they're in the private group and they're just, but anyway. So here's this guy. He says, I contracted painting some cabinets and trim with intentions of using a subcontractor. I bid the job for 10 grand. So he basically sold it for 10. The sub is going to cost me 6,500. The materials will cost 500. So my profit will be $3,000. If I painted them myself, I could do the job in a week and keep $9,500 instead of $3,000. So now I'm considering doing it all myself and keeping the $6,500 for myself. I will pay out, blah, blah, blah. I'm a great painter. What would you all do? So check this out. This is a situation that I've actually been in the past. I could go out and do this job myself and make more money. Here's how I would answer this question. First of all, what is the current situation in your business and in your life right now? If you're a one-man show and you are, Well, forget whether you're a one-man show. Let me back up. If you have a bunch of debt to pay off, if you're having a hard time making money on a normal basis, on a consistent basis, then I would consider doing the job. Now, there was a time I had 22 employees working for me in the field, and we had some debt. And I remember from time to time, my partner and I would throw the painter's whites back on, and we'd go out in the field and bang out a job like this so that we would just have more gross profit, and we'd take that gross profit and pay down some of the debt that we had or something. So it was a strategic, getting back in the field type thing. So I would first look and just go, what is my current situation? Do I have money banked? What is my workload? What is my lead flow? How far out am I booked? Things like that. Now, here's the other thing. Personally, I lean towards subbing it out and spending the week hustling, building relationships, selling, marketing, and things like that. Because one of the biggest mistakes that contractors make, and I just had a talk this morning with my marketing guy, Logan, fullsalemarketing.com if you need a marketing guy. But anyway, I literally said, dude, every year in the summertime, I do a rant or two about the biggest mistake contractors make is they stop marketing when they get busy. So this dude here could busy himself for a week, keep the extra $6,500, or he could market his ass off, create some content, build relationships with influencers, reach out to past customers, do all the things that we've talked about here 1,000 times. And over the course of the rest of 2019, he could put another $65,000 in his pocket. So I tend to go, unless I'm in some real bleak, fucked up, immediate situation in my life or in my business, my personal finances, whatever it is, if I'm this guy, I would sub it out. And then I would get, actually, if you want to do anything on that job, I would sub the thing out, and then I would go and chum it up with the homeowner while I'm there. I would try to upsell some other stuff while we're in the home and make the average job size go a little higher. And then I would spend my time marketing my business and focused on sales or one of the other million things that you have to do as an owner. All right. So good question though. Appreciate that we asked it. All right. Another guy here says, I just had a month's worth of work collapse on me because I was too damn stupid to get deposits. Two jobs gone, so pissed at myself. All right, so guys, here's the deal. This is playing good defense. And I know I talked about it here before, but if you're not getting a signed contract and a deposit, a commitment, a financial commitment from the client, then you reap what you sow, right? Too many contractors think that this whole, and I'm not saying this guy did this, but it just makes me think of this, no deposit required, and they think that that's a differentiator in their business. Like, yeah, I don't get a big deposit or I don't take deposits. If that's what you're leaning on to sell fucking jobs, then you blow balls as a sales guy. Seriously, if you can't get a deposit, then you've done a really fucking stupid job of building value for why they need to hire you. Or you were just like this guy said, he was too damn stupid to get one. He just probably didn't ask. He was too chicken shit. I don't know his situation. I haven't talked to him. I just saw it this morning here in the group. He's a good dude, I'm sure. Okay. And I've been there. I've done it too. I'm like, I want to be a nice guy. And I remember I used to stand in somebody's house and I go, yeah, it's 10 grand. And they're like, it's so funny that I'm about to say this because I totally forgot about it until just like 2 seconds ago. But this is how stupid I used to be. There were times where I would go, oh no, we're good. We'll I'll have the office, work out a time to get the deposit from you or whatever it is. And the reason was I had my own head trash around money and I didn't want to make it awkward in the sales process or whatever. So I was chicken shit and I was stupid. End of the day, here's the deal. Anytime somebody wants to give you money, take the money. Okay. But it is not a job, that it is not a sale until you have a signed contract with a scope of work produced that they've agreed to and your terms of payment are ironed out. I don't care if you're working with a big ass commercial job or a GC or property management company or association where their policy is, you know, you do the job and we invoice you, you know, and you'll get paid within 60 days, I would say to them, hey, thanks a lot and fuck you. All right. Because you are not somebody's fucking bank. One of the most beautiful things about the contracting industry, you guys, is what my buddy Neil says, it's OPM. You can build it on other people's money. They finance the project. The customer finances the project. This is where you have to have the discipline then. So if you get, every state's different, so don't be texting me and saying, Tom, I can't do that in my state, fuck you, or whatever, okay? Like California, I think it's 10%. You can't get more than 10%. Well, then fucking get 10%. But then say, hey, here's the deposit. Whatever, obviously you gotta follow the laws, but you want to get as much money up front as you can. And when I mean up front, it's like, hey, sign the contract today. It's 10%. Fine. On day one of the project, you're going to give us another X percent. At this point of the project, another X percent. On the last day of the project, paid in full, blah, blah, blah. One of the biggest reasons that guys go broke is they're not fanatical about making deposits every single day into their business. So this dude here who didn't get the deposits, now he lost the jobs. Okay. Now I don't know all the conditions here, so I'm not going to make too many assumptions, but I can only speculate a few things here. Right. But don't ever think that you got a job in the bag. It's still a unicorn. It doesn't exist until you have a signed proposal and a deposit. So it sounds like he needs to work on his sales process here a little bit. And the other thing, so you'll lose jobs, you know, people will cancel on you here or whatever. The other thing, because I'm all over on this one, I apologize, guys, I'm jacked up about it. Here's the thing. When they give you a deposit and they write you a check and they sign a contract, in their mind, in their subconscious, they've checked this shit off the box. They've hired somebody. They're not looking for somebody anymore. The fact that it sounds like you didn't get a contract or a deposit left it as an open item in their brain. They were still open to having a conversation with somebody else. They might have looked at one of the other bids or whatever it was. Somebody might have followed up with them. And it would have been much easier if they would have just said, oh yeah, we already hired somebody and we're done. So there's a million ways this could have played out. But the point is, get deposits, get signed proposals. Don't be a chicken shit with it. Cash flow will keep your business alive. So here's something that I hear a lot. Tom, on paper, on my profit and loss sheet, I show a profit, but I don't have any money. Why is that? It's because you were profitable, but remember, money is flowing in and out of a business. And if you are not fanatical about collections, invoicing people, then you are going to struggle. You are going to have profit on paper, and you're not going to have shit in the bank. And in this guy's case, you're also going to have an empty schedule that now he has to frantically scramble to fill because he didn't do one of the very basic things in business, and that's get payment up front. I love contracting because you can do that, guys. You don't have to go to the bank to borrow money necessarily. Depends what industry or what trade you're in, right? But if you're a painter, if you're, you know, a carpenter, if you're building cabinets, if you're doing hardwood flooring, people are used to having to pay for deposits. And the other thing is now they have skin in the game. You have skin in the game. This guy here had skin in the game. He blocked out his whole fucking calendar for a month of these two projects. He had skin in the game. He stopped filling the days this month because of that. And now it's costing him because the potential client didn't have skin in the game. Hopefully that makes sense. When they have skin in the game and you have skin in the game, things go better. All right, let me take a drink of my seltzer water. Here we go. I got my first big job and almost finished with it. I still have a little bit to go, but I was running my numbers, and I will maybe break even if I am lucky. And that's not even including my time on the job. Raise your fucking hand if you've ever been there. My hand is up. He goes on, I am confused of how I'm losing money on this job when I marked everything up and we have been hitting the hours it is taking. The only thing I can think that might be biting me is how long it took us to do the siding. They even added extra stuff, So not sure what happened. I guess this is owning my crap. I need to track everything way better and get better with my numbers. Now, he kind of answered everything there, right? But I wanted to share this because this is really common. We talk here that, you know, the starting point is, hey, let's try to get a 50% gross profit on all our jobs. So you figure up what it's going to cost you to do the project. So let's just say work with the 10,000 number. It's easy. Let's say a job is going to cost me $5,000 to do it. I add up all the man hours I think it's going to take to hang the siding or paint the thing or build the thing and the materials and the permits and any rental equipment and shit like that. I add all that up and it gives me $5,000. Take what it's, that's what I get to write checks for. If we finish exactly on time. So if I work one man hour more, if I pay a guy $30 an hour and we went over one man hour on the job, that job now cost me, you know, $5,030. If I bought one extra gallon of paint than I thought, that's another $50. Next thing you know, I'm $100 over what I thought it would take. So it's very, very important on one side here that your estimating is accurate. And the only way that you get accurate in estimating is you track your shit. All right, so you do the pre-job estimate like we're talking here. Well, then you figure up your sale price. If you take that $5,000, you multiply it times two, that means I sell the job for $10,000, no less. And if I finish everything on time, I would have $5,000 left over. And that leftover money is called gross profit. That's what I have left to pay overhead. Because the first $5,000 was materials and my guys and all that stuff, all the things that we call cost of goods. Hopefully you're still with me. So in this guy's case, and this is very common, he might have priced it right based on what he thought it was going to take to do the job. Where I bet he went wrong, he said it's his first big job. So I haven't talked to him. Posted this late last night, and I just screenshotted it here, and I'm reading it here to you. My guess is he didn't do any daily check-ins and job costing. And what I mean by that is this. In my world, if you are a foreman on my team, you are responsible to know exactly where we are every single fucking day of the project, whether it's a one-day job or a thousand-day job. Part of his job, part of the foreman's job, otherwise, real quick, if the foreman ain't doing what I'm about to share, then he's a glorified fucking laborer or carpenter or whatever the hell you have him doing, because why would you pay him foreman wages if he's not going to do a foreman job? But anyway, that's another story. So each day, this is what it would look like. He would text the office and he would say, hey, I'm on the Reber job. It was bid for 100 man hours. We used 32 today. We're on track with our day one plan. Or it might be, hey, I used 32 hours today. Some of the things, you know, blah, 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 you know, the baseboards took a little longer than I thought they were going to take, or than the estimate had on it, or the work order, I'm sorry. So I'm a little bit behind where I want to be, but I think I can make it up tomorrow when we get to XYZ. And guys, when you do just that, if you simply did that every day, the chances of you being profitable go up in a crazy way. See, what you focus on, you'll get more of. Okay, it'll improve. So you want to make sure that, because in this case, I bet you this guy's job got away from him. Something took 8 hours more than it should have. Something was a few more gallons of paint or a few more pieces of wood or whatever the hell it was. But he had to buy more supplies or something. Or maybe there was just an inefficiency. Maybe the estimator didn't do a good job of estimating the job, and he was just off on it. There's a million things, and it doesn't mean somebody's, you know, a fuckface or something like that, and they're an idiot. It just means we all make mistakes. We're never perfect. And if you don't have this daily eyes on the project mentality, you are not going to set yourself up for success. Because here's the deal. When I sell that job at 10 grand, if we're talking about here, basically what I'm saying is I need to figure out how to produce it for $5,000. And so what I would do many times is I would go, okay, let's take $1,000 off and, you know, for the materials maybe. And so I got $4,000 left, and, you know, it might be, you know, what's that for? If I'm charging $100 an hour, it's a 40-hour job. Okay, guys, you have to pay attention to this stuff. My guess is, he says, I'm confused why I'm losing money on this job. The only thing I can think it might be biting me is how long it took us to do the siding. See, he should know that. And you should know it while it's happening, not at the end of the job. But one of the worst things you could do is at the end of the year, not know why you made or lost money. And job costing every single day. Yeah, it's a pain in the ass. I can hear all you guys now. Tom, I don't have time for that shit. Guys, if you have 4 minutes a day at the end of each project, you can job cost your projects. And I'm not talking about you big-ass commercial guys and all that other stuff. It's going to be, you know, an hour a day. But the point here is make job costing every day an absolute priority on your crews, and you will avoid situations like this dude here did. Do you know that most small contractors in America are making $50,000 to $60,000 a year? That's ridiculous. You're out there busting your ass every day to beautify people's homes and properties, right? You're an essential member of your community, doing great things. You've practiced your craft for years. You're an expert. You're working long hours, sometimes 7 days a week. So why should you settle for table scraps? Worse yet, why should you put your family's future at risk? My mission here in the Contractor Fight is to bring respect back to the trades. It's to help you build the life that you want to live. And that's why I've started the Contractor Fight Club. It's for guys who need a boost to get their business on track without spending thousands of dollars a year on business coaching that may or may not apply to them. So listen, Contractor Fight Club is personalized, low-cost coaching program to help you make the leap from craftsman to business owner. You're going to learn what it means to know your numbers. You're going to learn how to get your phone to ring. You're going to be able to pick my brain about things that it's going to take to build a strong team. Whatever you want to talk about it, you get access to me. But you also get access to our monthly fight night training calls. As a member of the Contractor Fight Club, you get the fight night training calls and the library of calls that we have in the past. So all the past calls are yours. You get access to me through our private coaching app that we use, so you can message me and I reply to those every morning. So you got something you need to pick my brain on, you are good to go. So listen, go to thecontractorfight.com/fight-club to learn more about this high impact, low cost coaching program to help you kick some serious ass in your business. All right, I got one more here I want to share. And this stirred up 108 comments in the group, many of which people were out in fucking left field, and many of which were incredibly wise and very valuable, all right? So here we go. Took another drink. I had two employees. This guy's, he's a drywaller. I had two employees tell me Friday that they are quitting to go do one job for a homeowner because they need the extra money to fix all their personal problems. Hey, these guys used to work for me. It's a very large new house that they'll finish and paint. They have little equipment and zero insurance. I'm a little put off that they'd quit a full-time job just to pull off one house. Really puts me in a jam, and we'll probably considering hiring them back when they're done because there's very little talent in my area and I'm loaded with work. What are your thoughts on this? And then boom, you know, we had over 108 comments. So guys, here's my reply to this issue. He's got these two guys that are jumping ship and everyone's like, fuck them. You know, a couple guys were like, fuck them, you know, get rid of them. Now let me paint a picture. This guy who owns this business, he's a good dude. He's a good employer. He's not an idiot. All right. But I just said, this is a relationship issue. This is an opportunity for you to grow as a communicator and as a leader. How would you want to be treated if you were them? How would you view an opportunity to get your own ass out of money troubles? Here's what I would say. I quoted, guys, I'm excited for you and the chance you have to get your asses out of debt. How do you feel we can make this a win for all of us? Okay. So please understand. And some people, you know, were like, well, I don't need to go there, but here's the deal. If you got people jumping ship from your company to go make money on another job, then at some point they don't feel safe having a conversation with you. You could do better as a leader, creating the environment where you can help them get what they want. And so what I meant by this is an opportunity for you to grow as a communicator and a leader. How would you want to be treated if you were them? Flip the tables. If you're feeling that stress of financial stuff in your life, in your business, what would you want from me if I were your boss? What I would want to hear is, dude, man, I've been there. I know what it's like to be up to my eyeballs in this financial trouble and stuff like that. You're a good dude. I hate to lose you. What can we work out so that you both get what you want? You want to take some unpaid time off and I'll jump through hoops through a couple of weeks and work it out? Because remember, if you help enough people get what they want, you're going to get what you want. And my point here is it's hard enough to find people. Okay, so don't be so quick to just write your people off like, you know, they're a bunch of assholes and things like that. And this guy did not do that, okay? And so this guy actually replied to me. He says, Tom, I think you're way off here. He challenged me and I was cool with it. They both said they love working for me and are grateful that I gave them a job, but they found themselves in serious financial trouble from not working for a long period before coming to me. It's easy to make assumptions, though, with the info I gave, but you shouldn't assume people quit because someone is a terrible leader. I have 7 other loyal employees that have been with me for years. And my reply back to him was this. I didn't say you were a terrible leader. I never thought that for a second. I'm also willing to be wrong. My point is this is an opportunity to grow for all of you. It's tough finding guys. Keep them close to you if you can. I had a guy that every 18 months or so would do a side job, and then he'd get this idea that he was going to go off on his own and start his own business. And my reply each time was, great, let me help prepare you. We met every week for about 3 to 4 weeks, and I laid out everything we do behind the scenes in business in order to be successful. How to get leads, close jobs, the softwares, the CRMs, the answering the phones, the estimating programs, the insurance, all this other shit. I gave him all the secret sauce, and every time after a while, he'd say, I don't think I'm ready for this, okay? We maintained a great relationship and both added a ton of value to each other's lives, me and this guy that I had every year and a half we'd go through this. We've helped each other reach the goals we've had. This is the mindset I'm coming from in my earlier posts. And then, you know, this guy understood more where I'm coming from. Guys, here's the thing. People generally do not leave a company for money reasons. They blame money because it's an easy thing to blame. Yeah, this guy's giving me another buck or two an hour. Or that same thing that customers do. They tell you that your price is too high because that's the easy scapegoat for them instead of them telling the truth that they thought you were creepy, okay? Or they didn't trust you, or they have no idea what the value is that you're going to bring to them. So if you have guys jumping ship to leave your company, it's a culture issue. It's a leadership issue. And this is where you got to own your crap. All right. So make sure that you create the type of environment that your people want to be a part of, where they feel like they're like, do you understand what their life goals are? Again, if I'm in this guy's situation, I'd fall on the sword with these guys and go, guys, I blew it here. I've known that you're in financial trouble. I should have come to you long ago and said, hey, let's come up with a plan to get you guys out of the hole. What kind of loyalty you think that would create? So guys, listen, all you guys listening here today, leadership, you know, what happens between your ears and your leadership are the biggest factors to the success or that you're going to have or not have in your business. So I want to encourage you, like we talk about here all the time, get your mind right, but listen, be focused on being a better leader, build relationships, understand your people, understand what makes them tick. And I promise you, you will see a decrease in people jumping ship. And you'll also see an increase of people of applying that want to come work for you, because word will get around that you're the dude to work for. So anyway, listen, appreciate you guys hanging with me here today. I know it was all over the place with some questions from the Facebook group, but please hit the group. And I will hit the group and join the group, own your crap, and be a part of what we have going on there, because there's some really good stuff there. And with that, Travis, rock our faces off as we get out of here, and we'll talk to you guys next time on The Contractor Fight.
Want some fight swag to wear? Simply share this episode of The Contractor Fight anywhere on Facebook or Instagram using the hashtag #JoinTheFight, and our team will pick one winner each week to recognize your help in spreading the fight message.